This is Mark Anderson with Floristware. With Valentine's Day behind us, we wanted to give you a webinar that would help you increase sales all year round. And I'm very happy to be here with Kathy Dudley. I've known and admired Kathy Dudley for several years, both for her success as a retail shop owner and also for her commitment to the industry. In addition to running her store, she's been a longtime member of SAF and very active in a number of roles there. It was as a member of SAF that Kathy visited the National Funeral Directors Association annual convention. She went to get an understanding of the changes in that industry and learn how florists could adapt to increase her sympathy volume. She's going to share some of what she learned with us right now.
Great. Thanks, Mark. I'm glad to be here. So as Mark said, it was late 2009 when a group of florists, probably about maybe six or eight of us, went to the Funeral Directors Convention in Boston, courtesy of Smithers Oasis, who was very gracious enough to sponsor our booth. And we really went for a couple of reasons. We wanted to find out what we could bring back for flower shops in terms of what's going on in the funeral industry. We also wanted to be able to educate the funeral director about the benefit of flowers in sympathy occasions, and also to encourage the end of the in lieu of flowers. As we all know, none of us want to see in lieu of flowers in the newspaper. There are lots of other alternative phrasings that can be used. Not the topic for today, of course, but certainly a very important one. So what we had found from the funeral directors whenever we were there, just through conversation at our booth, as well as attending their educational seminars, we were allowed to do that, which was a great insight into the lives and struggles and successes of the funeral directors in the funeral industry. We came away with six funeral industry trends. These are defined by the industry themselves, not from me. I'm just basically going to share that information with you today. And also some of the individual findings from the funeral directors themselves on very specific ways that florists can help the funeral director and that we can do a better job. So the first trend in the industry that was defined and that is important for us as well is that funerals have increased personalization going on. Basically, the funerals, everyone wants them to be as unique as the person who died. So for instance, whether you have all heard the story about a gentleman who had his recliner chair brought into the funeral home and he was laid out in his chair instead of in a casket. The remote control was in his hand. He was watching his favorite sports team. They had brought in a flat screen TV and everyone came. They had a big party. Everyone was wearing their sports gear. A very good example, maybe an extreme example, but a very good example of the personalization that people are looking for in their funeral services. Another example that we had seen at the convention, there were a couple companies there that were displaying themed caskets. For instance, they had a casket that was for the motif of a fireman. They had a camouflage one. They had one that was Harley Davidson with all orange and black. They had military with the green, the camouflage, all that stuff on there that you would expect for a military funeral. They also had one that was painted with the American flag so that flag would be permanently on the casket. Another instance of a personalization, for instance, services on a golf course. You'll see a lot more services taking place outside of the funeral home, and that's all part of the personalization experience that I can help you with. The most interesting point about all this that I saw was that most of the personalization that I was experiencing and had heard about were all masculine. Not so much of feminine, but you can imagine that a woman's service, you may see one being held at their favorite spa or at the mall, or certainly very common to maybe have one in a flower garden or something like that. Now, for florists, what does it mean for us? One of the main things that florists need to do is to be ready for this. It's very easy to do. Stock up on personalized items such as golf tees, old golf clubs, fishing lures, fishing poles, garden gloves, watering cans, packs of cards, poker chips, anything that you can think of, sports memorabilia. I'm from Pittsburgh. I make sure that I have terrible towels in my store. Pittsburgh Pirate memorabilia, things like that that go with the area that you are in that people would maybe want to use in their funeral items. You can use this with or without flowers, which is going to be important coming up. The number two trend that we talked about in the funeral industry was advanced funeral planning. So whether this is pre-planned and or also prepaid, this is very similar if you think about in terms of a florist booking a wedding or an event and having guaranteed sales on the books. The funeral directors are also embracing this trend, which helps them guarantee revenue in the future. It also allows for the person planning the funeral to decide their own fate, so to speak. They get to choose what music they want played. They get to choose what readings they want to be read there. They get to choose the setting. Where do they want the service to take place? Do they want it in a church? Do they want it outside? Do they want it in their backyard or even in their living room? What time of day do they want it? Do they want it morning? Do they want it night? Do they want their hobbies incorporated? All of those details are going into play now, where before it was very traditional. So much more is being done on a one-on-one individual basis, and it's done ahead of time by the actual person for themselves. Partly the reason for this is that it's going to alleviate the stress on the loved ones after they've passed away. Partly I think this is due to families getting smaller. Parents don't want the pressure put on maybe their only child or only two children. They want that to be taken care of so that their children don't have to worry about that going forward. For us as retailers, for florists, my first recommendation is that you talk to your funeral director. You need to have a clear sense of communication on what types of things are going on in those advanced planning meetings. What types of options are being given to the families? Are the funeral directors talking about flowers when they pre-plan? If not, why not? Should they be? Can they be? Can you help them with this? Those are all important questions that you need to ask, and probably not just ask once, but make it a communication effort on your part that you are going to be talking to them on a regular basis, maybe not something that's so predictable and pre-planned and formal, but just in casual conversation even, you can pick up a lot of information. And that's probably more important than anything, is to make sure that you're establishing that relation. Certainly, especially if you can help them get flowers into that pre-planning session. The next trend, and probably the most absolutely important in terms of what's affecting the business structure and the revenue stream in the funeral industry, is that cremations are on the rise. Without a doubt, you'll see in the chart that I have here from 1999 to 2025, with projections that are being made, the funeral business is going from about 25% cremations to almost 60%. In Canada, that's even higher. Expect Canada to be at 70% or higher by 2025. This cannot be denied, and it cannot be overlooked in what's coming up, not only in the funeral business, but also in the flower business. If you think about it, traditionally, florists have relied on sympathy to be about 30% of their revenue, and that's using traditional visitations. Cremation is going to change that a little bit. Partially, cremations are on the rise because of economics. The price of a cremation can be as low as 1/5 the cost of a traditional funeral, only 20% of the cost. For instance, a traditional funeral for the funeral home results in about $6,500 for the average funeral home sales. When you add in the vault costs, the cemetery plot fees, plus other expenses, including flowers and the grave marker, this is approximately $10,000. For people that are doing cremations, the average is more in tune with $1,500 to $2,000 total cost. So for the family, there's a great economic benefit. That's one of the key drivers in why cremations are on the rise. Right now, you know, we're still coming out of recession. It's a huge, huge player in the reason why cremations are increasing. But you can see going forward, the Cremation Association predicts that that is going to just keep steadily rising and not go back at all. So for florists, it is imperative that you start a cremation portfolio, very similar to how hopefully you all have regular sympathy portfolios with pictures of your own work for the funeral directors to see. You need to be creating settings just for cremations. Borrow an urn from your funeral director if you need to. Make an urn or put something in its place that you can represent an urn in your photo. But you need to be providing these pictures for the funeral directors to use. One of the main things that we sort of saw was the lack of knowledge on the funeral director's part on knowing how to use flowers in a cremation, how to sort of set that whole situation up. Now you've got this urn at the front of the room, and then what? Sure, we use some pictures. I'm sure there might be some music playing, but as we all know, flowers really soften that room. Funeral directors are very used to seeing lid sprays. They're used to seeing side urns. They're used to seeing easel sprays. They're not used to seeing how flowers can be done very tastefully and very effectively around that smaller shaped urn or around a photo of a loved one that has passed away. So because of that, it's important for you to take the lead in developing your own portfolio. The other thing that you're going to help do is perhaps stem the tide of the decreasing flower orders that are going now. It's going to be easier to do it now than it is going later. You're going to be prepared ahead of the big cremation rush. If you're not seeing in your area, you're going to now just take the lead and go talk to your funeral director. One way you can do this, and I think it's a great idea, I got it from a friend of mine, was have a funeral director open house. Make 4 to 6 different styles of cremation type pieces. Set them up in stages around your store. Have your own open house and invite the funeral directors in your area all to your store. Give them something to eat, give them something to drink, make it casual, but make it very effective for them to sort of learn and see what flowers can do to make their job easier and to make them look better. Best part of all this is get a photo area set up in your store, take your photos, have those ready for the funeral director to take back, get them priced and everything ready to go, so that when the time comes, that funeral director is ready and they're going to have your pictures to sell, not the competitors down the street. So the next trend that we have the need to talk about is that technology is playing a larger role in the funeral industry, just as it is everywhere else. Just like we've used our websites and our blogs to communicate with our clients over time, the funeral directors are increasingly using technology to communicate with families and friends of loved ones who have passed away, especially since fewer people are traveling back for services. You maybe can't afford to travel to California if you're in New York because your great uncle passed away. But you do have time to sit and watch that funeral service for an hour if it was broadcast online. And I think that is going to be more prevalent coming up in the next several years, is that technology is going to be even more important. With smartphones becoming, you know, such the rage and really a necessity anymore, you're going to see everything available on there. You've got iPads and all that other technology going on that's just going to bring video and audio even more into our lives on an integrated basis. So in addition to a regular online obituary that we're already used to seeing in an online guest book, there's going to be a lot more interaction and a lot more of that memorial broadcasting going on across the country and across the world. So even if someone is, you know, in China and we're in the United States, maybe not China, they're not a good example. Maybe Australia and not in the United States, they'll be able to watch as well. For florists, as we all have seen with traditional services being on the decline, distance often means less flowers. So people think, you know, I can't come, I'm not going to send flowers, I'm going to save the money on that too. I'm just going to send a card, maybe to my aunt at home and, you know, express my sympathies to her that way. Or maybe I'll make a donation. There's lots of things taking precedence over flowers that are already out there. So what we need to do is be aware of this and also make sure that we're offering the right alternatives to fresh flowers when the time is appropriate. By and large, fresh flowers, nothing beats them in terms of their impact on a person's mental and emotional health. However, there are times when alternatives are important, including more keepsake type items. In my area, we sell a ton, and I mean a ton, of blanket throws. We sell wind chimes, garden stones, even getting into memory baskets that would include a photo frame, a candle, a journal for someone to write their thoughts in, some potpourri, something that they can basically set up their own little memorial spot in their house, in their room, where they can use it at the service if they're not having one in a traditional funeral home. Perhaps you can provide that item to them that they would be able to use. Not that this is technology related necessarily, but because of technology and more people not coming, You need to be able to provide the right kind of gift items for them whenever they need them. In terms of technology itself, if you haven't already, you need to get involved with listings and ads or sponsorships on the funeral home's websites. Basically, if for no other reason than top of mind awareness, people are going to see your name associated with the funeral home when they're on the funeral home website to look at that online obituary. If they can click and place an order, it'll be easy for them to do. Just the association of you with the funeral home automatically gives you more credibility and trust among those who might not know you from anybody else in that town. So if they are halfway across the world, the fact that you're right there with that funeral home and that funeral director trusts you with their clients automatically gives you a leg up. For instance, one thing coming on the horizon that I was talking with Mark a little bit earlier about and I wanted to share with y'all in case you don't know is that Batesville Casket Company is working a deal, if they haven't already completed it, with, I believe, FTD, who will be basically providing florist ordering ability to Batesville and all of Batesville's casket customers. A lot of the people that buy caskets from Batesville also have websites through them. If you don't know that, Batesville has an entire website division, basically. So they're hooking up with FTD to provide online ordering through all those websites automatically. If you can, you possibly need to get your funeral director and see if you can link to them instead of them linking to a company like FTD or Teleflora or ProFlowers or 1-800, any of those big guys. You're still going to get the order if they do it, maybe, but you're going to get it at 30% less. And as we know, you need all the profit that you can get. The one other thing you possibly would be able to do in terms of technology, if you can, is try to see if you can get your own affiliate link with them. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But one of the main things that you can do is show your funeral director that you're serious and that you're willing to possibly partner with them in a more serious way than just paying a fee to have the ad on the website. So enough with technology for now. I could go on about that for hours, but enough of that. Back to regular trends in funeral industry. And the next one is green funerals. Just as the rest of the world's currently all about being green and eco-friendly, this also affects the funeral industry. Sometimes it can mean lower cost, but not always. Basically, the green funeral, it can be an economic decision if it's less expensive, but as we see with lots of other areas, people are willing to pay as much or more for eco-friendly or organic products and services. So for the funeral director, a green funeral oftentimes goes hand in hand with cremation because the family doesn't want to have the disturbing of the earth and the embalming fluid and everything else going into the person's body and into the ground. It's, you know, not good for our soil and everything like that. Biodegradable caskets are being used more and more, especially for memorial services. We see small gatherings and natural settings. So once again, sort of also tying in with the personalization aspect of the trends. This all goes hand in hand with cremations are on the rise. People perhaps want to spend less money, or if they don't, they at least want to make it more personal for them. So for the funeral directors, this can possibly mean more work or less work, depending on the services that they're able to provide, such as securing the site location for where that service might be. Oftentimes, a green funeral is very quick, as terrible as it sounds, because there is no embalming fluid. You can't have a body staying for days and days and days. It's just not a good thing to do. So they are a little quicker turnaround. You need to be prepared as a florist. And this is where florists come into this trend with the funeral directors. In your stock or readily available to you, I recommend having organic material, having organic containers, biodegradable containers, being part of your daily stock. Maybe not tons and tons and tons, but have enough that you'll be able to use this. It's a great marketing ploy. Make sure whenever you're making flower arrangements, you're not always making a one-sided traditional style piece. People are looking for more natural style arrangements, things that look like maybe they were just picked from the wildflower field or something along those lines, or else maybe the person that died was a peony gardener, so maybe a vase of all peonies would be good. These are questions that you need to be asking and things that you need to be thinking about whenever you are working with a funeral director or with a family for a funeral such as this. The other thing that I recommend, and I've heard this being very successful for some florists, is to make sure that you have alternatives such as trees, perennial plants, garden stones, natural elements that can be kept by the family or used by the family, in this case planted by the family if it's a tree or a perennial, that they can almost set up their own little meditation garden or that sort of thing in remembrance of the person that passed away. Keep in mind, you may also be asked to provide organic flowers or locally grown flowers and plants. So check into that and see, are they available to you? Do your suppliers carry those? If they don't, can they get them for you? What's the lead time on that? Is it a lot more expensive? Are they relatively the same price? And that's not just in funeral. I think that that's going to be a growing trend, perhaps in our daily regular florist environment as well, is that people are still looking for more natural, local, organic product. So keep that in mind as you're going forward. And finally, the last trend in the industry is that there's basically going to be a new face. Traditionally, we've walked into a funeral home, and it's men that are running the show. They're families that are running the show. And basically, similar to the florist, there's been a consolidation in the industry. The number of funeral homes is decreasing over the past several years. And this latest statistic that I had pulled from the Funeral Doctors Association website itself basically is spelled out right here. The top four, only four, publicly traded funeral home operators in the U.S. accounts for 10% of the market share in 2009. That's a lot, considering that still most of the funeral homes are still family run. That is really going to be more scarce coming up in the next several years. So be prepared to be dealing with more of a corporate type of atmosphere as opposed to just the funeral doctor that, you know, his family that you may have known for generations in your neighborhood. The other thing that we see is more women are entering this field. I found this very, very fascinating. And if you think about the natural skill sets that a woman usually possesses, perhaps differently than a man, sometimes better, sometimes for worse. But I think that women tend to be very compassionate. They tend to be great listeners. They tend to be great at organization. They can multitask. They're great at doing events. Those are all really important skills to have as a funeral director. And you're seeing more and more women entering this field. If any of you have watched The Bachelor, you just saw that last week The Bachelorette was dismissed. She was a funeral director. She made it to the top four, top five in the show. So she certainly gave a lot of credence and a lot of public awareness to all of America watching The Bachelor that women can be funeral directors too. So look for that a little bit more on the horizon. An interesting statistic with this is that 57% of students at mortuary schools right now are female. So coming into the future, you can see more than half of those new funeral directors are going to be women. So be prepared to work with that. So overall, in terms of for florists, expect a more professionally run funeral home than maybe what you would have had in the past. There's going to be a sharper eye on profit. Not to say your funeral directors haven't run an excellent business over time, but these companies are in it for the profit. They're not necessarily always in it for the compassion that they have for their neighbors and their families and their friends. They also need to make money. For that, you need to try to be their partner. They're going to watch every penny. They're looking for profit centers. They're looking for new opportunities, and that's where florists can fill in. Once again, you might want to revisit. Do you have a commission structure in place for your funeral home? If they do the sale for you and send that order over to you via fax, do you give them a commission? Do you pay them that amount? If you don't, you may want to look at that a little bit. So just sort of keep these things in mind, that partnership is going to be important going forward. Also, especially to keep the communication open, I fully expect with a more corporate atmosphere, you're going to have more turnover. You're not going to have the same funeral director working for one company for their entire working lives. So you can't count on that. You need to keep that communication open with everyone at the funeral home so that if someone does leave, you're still at the top of their minds in terms of who to contact for flowers. So basically, enough of trends. There's a lot of trends going on. You can see that they're very, very similar to the florists. But we sat down, stood up, whatever, sometimes, and talked to the funeral directors themselves when they came to visit the booth. This is very one-on-one. We just asked them, What do you need the florist to do? What do you want to see from the florist to make your job better, to make your job easier, to help you out? And there were basically 10 or 12 things that they mentioned. Most of these are no-brainers. Deliver on time, number one. If the funeral director tells you that you need to have flowers there by noon, please have them there by noon. If you have a late piece come in and it's 11:30 and you can't get it down there by noon, they said, give us a call, let us know it's coming. We're okay sometimes, we have a little bit of leeway. We need to know that it's coming so that when we're setting the room up, we leave space for it. Bring everything else in the meantime, bring that one piece later, but please be on time. Second, be courteous. When you come into the funeral home, you're pulling the delivery van in, your delivery driver is, please have them turn off the radio. They do not need to be blasting the radio so that we can all hear rock and roll or Christian radio or Newt Gingrich or whoever it is for everyone to hear. Turn off the radio, be quiet, be courteous. Just watch yourself whenever you're in the funeral home. If you do drop something, pick it up. Don't leave a broken leaf or something on the floor. It's just common courtesy. The third one is make sure that your flowers are secure. If you think about it, funeral flowers are probably moved and transported more than any other flower that we send out of our shop. You need to make sure that your mechanics are good, the flowers are secure, that they're stable, that they're not going to fall out or fall apart whenever they're moved. I'd like to think that anymore with the materials that we have, that this is very easy for us to do. But apparently, there's still a lot of flower shops out there that aren't doing this, or the funeral directors wouldn't have specifically mentioned it to us. So I forward it on for all of you to take into consideration. The next piece was watch your sizing, and it sort of also goes in line with watch your weight, but not quite. Watch your sizing is in regards to flowers being moved from the funeral home to the memorial service site or the cemetery. A lot of the flowers are moved in cars, limousines, or the hearse itself. And you need to be careful on how much space your things take up, specifically how much height they take up and also how much width. So you might want to, if you don't have those measurements of how much height room there is in the funeral director's cars, give them a call and find out what that is so that you know your main family pieces especially are going to fit in there. They're not going to have to break a flower to move it to the next location. If you have to send something really big, this is another little point. You might want to just offer your van to help them transport everything if you know you have, you know, several big pieces that aren't going to fit in there and you don't want them to be broken. Just something to keep in mind. So watch your weight. I do not mean this personally, but I thought it was a good way to remember it. Keep your mechanics as light as possible. Make sure your pieces are sturdy. Make sure they stay together, but keep them as light as possible. Do not weigh down your entire piece with water if you don't have to. Put in enough water for it to survive. You're better off going down to the funeral home the very next day, send your driver with a little bit of water to add more in if you need to, if you have a piece that's going to be virtually impossible for the funeral director to lift and move without causing a problem. And that was straight from then. I think that's going to happen even more with more women being funeral directors. Women just can't carry as much weight as a lot of men. So it's something to think about going forward. The last one on this page, make your flowers like the picture. Whether it's a picture that the funeral director has in his portfolio that he's gotten from you, that you have told him that you can do this particular arrangement, or whether it's something that someone has ordered on the website, if someone orders a specific item, make that item. If you have to make substitutions, they say, please give us a call. Please call the family. Please call the sender, whatever it takes. Please ask about substitutions first. I think this comes from they hear a lot of conversation in the funeral home, and it's a lot of derogatory conversation about how, well, I spent $250 on this arrangement, and it was supposed to have all red roses, and as it turns out, half of it is red carnations. Well, that's not what I ordered, and all it does is put a bad name on flowers going forward. So make it like the picture. If you need to make some changes, get permission ahead of time, and everything will be good. Couple more things that they had said that I thought were very, very crucial. And one was put a good description of the item on the back of the card for a couple reasons. Number one, if the card becomes separated from the actual floral piece, the funeral director will be able to identify what piece it goes back to so they can put it on and the sender gets the credit for the right arrangement. The other reason for this is that generally the funeral directors take the cards off of the flower piece and hand them to the family in a pile, separate from the actual flowers. So when the family tries to remember who set what, or if they're going to send a thank you note, it helps them to have that information so they can make their thank you a little bit more personal. Thank you so much for that basket of pink and purple. The garden flowers were lovely and the roses were an extra special touch. That particular type of description, in not so many words, but enough so that they know what was in that piece, is really helpful to the funeral director and the family. Sort of along with that, the funeral directors requested that if at all possible, please include the sender's name and address on the back of the card. For that same reason, the family has that information, they can send their thank you note that much easier. This next one is very, very important. And to some, it's going to cause a little bit of problem, a little bit of consternation, but to others, it's going to make perfect sense. The funeral directors requested, please use a typed card. They really prefer the card that is put out by the point of sale systems. It's easier to read than handwriting. They can't read everybody's handwriting. Handwriting is terrible. Use a clear font. Be able to read that font from 3 feet away. In my shop, we use Times New Roman or Arial, something about that. Font size 12, 14. We don't need to go as large as 16, but you wanted something very clear, very easy to read. And the last two things, offer to help delivery to the cemetery or the home. If it's a large funeral especially, and there's a lot of pieces, whether they're your pieces or whether they're another shop's, tell the funeral director, you know what, you got a lot of pieces here. Why don't I send my driver down, or why don't I come back tonight or tomorrow whenever you need me, and I will help you deliver these wherever they need to go. Whether they're your pieces or not, the funeral director is going to remember that, and they really appreciate whenever they do have help moving the larger pieces and the quantity of pieces around, because they just don't have the big delivery vans that we do, and it certainly just is one more thing off of their plate. The last thing, we've heard it time and time again for generations, don't use your old flowers. The old adage way back in the days was use your oldest flowers for funeral work because they're just going to die anyway. They're going to go to the cemetery. Guess what? Flowers aren't going to the cemetery anymore. People aren't being buried in cemeteries anymore. They're being cremated. Flowers that are coming are oftentimes suitable for the home, so they're being taken to the people's homes. You want flowers that are going to last. You don't want them to fall apart. You want them to have a lovely memory of the service. You want them to have them at their house to enjoy a little bit longer, to bring some of that softness and that emotional uplifting that flowers provide at their house. So if you use old flowers, you're not going to get that. You're just going to get a bad taste in their mouth. So that was the main crux of what the funeral director said. As you can see, they had a lot on their mind. Most of them were common sense, and in general, they were very complimentary of Flores. They were glad that we were there whenever they needed us. And they know that they can usually call their main florist and say, hey, I have a service tomorrow morning. Can I get a spray with 3 dozen red roses? And we're there for them, and they appreciate that. The important thing for us to remember is to also appreciate our funeral director back, and that we need to be very aware of their needs and anticipate those needs ahead of time. So in summary, there's two things. Communication with your funeral director is paramount to future success. Those relationships are very, very important, and they're going to become increasingly important as niche shops arrive, as these personalized tributes go on. Nothing is going to be standard anymore. Everything is going to be individualized, and you need to keep that communication line open to make sure that you can provide that individualization that they need. And the second one, and keep this in mind and constantly keep your eyes open, is to make sure you're offering alternatives to meet the changing demands of the flower buyer for today's funeral customer. Offer those, you know, offer wind chimes. Maybe it's not a flower, but offer things that they can keep and remember for after. Those trees that I was talking about, or perennial baskets, or the, like I said, in our area, we saw a lot of wind chimes and blankets and things like that. Be open to new ideas. Offer them to your clients. Put them on your website. Give pictures of them to your funeral directors. Let them know what you have and that you are open to more than just the traditional one-sided basket. And you're going to go far. So that is basically, in a nutshell, what we found after being in Boston for 3 or 4 days, standing in a booth talking to directors. I think it's very pertinent going forward that we keep this in mind and work with our funeral directors to achieve future success. Thanks so much.
Kathy, thank you. That was fantastic. You know, I've talked to you about this before, and I know that there's a lot more that you could go over, and I hope at some point you get the chance.
Thank you. We're working on it a little bit.
Yes, yeah, so do you have some longer sessions planned?
Oh, well, I was going to say, you were working a little bit. So I'm working with Tim Huckabee now. And so we are working on a couple funeral sessions for this summer. One's going to be about in terms of specifically about selling for the funeral customer. And the other one will be more along the lines of this in terms of nitty-gritty different ideas and stuff that you can bring into your shops to sort of aid in that sales process and help the back end. So look for that in the next few months.
Okay, great. And that's floralstrategies.com.
Right.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks.
And then for the users, we're going to put this recording on the website and also the slides for you to review. And to stay in touch on this and future webinars, please you can check us out on facebook.com/floristware or follow Floristware on Twitter. So Kathy, thank you again. I really appreciate it, and I know the users will too.
Definitely. Well, it's great. Glad to be here. Thanks so much.